Hi and welcome. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone on this awesome Sunday afternoon after spring break.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us this Sunday afternoon. First full week back after spring break for everyone, and so we know everyone's kind of on a downhill slide now, and starting to make that move toward summer, and it's getting that time.
It is. So now we're kind of thinking about 5 weeks left in the semester. A lot of schoolwork, a lot of stress. You know, we've talked about a lot of ways you can manage that stress. Hopefully you'll take all the information we've been talking about so far this semester and you'll just apply it to your daily lives. That's all we can hope for.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the time of year that we start to, if our numbers are going to trail off at all with university recreation and in any fitness related facility, the numbers generally tend to drop off mid-spring.
Right.
And so for whatever reason, well, we know the reason, you know, people's New Year's resolutions have worn off, their spring break is over, and as students, mm-hmm. probably trying to finish the semester up and get everything knocked out, and working out tends to probably take a back seat for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. And even just in my classes this week, I can see a definite decrease in participation, which is kind of nice, because if you're interested in starting, you know, exercise program, maybe this is your time to start. Now's a perfect time because classes aren't quite as full. Facilities around town probably aren't as busy like we've talked about. So maybe this is the perfect time for you to start your goals.
Without a doubt, I think it's the greatest. If you want to step outside of your comfort zone and get into an area where you probably normally wouldn't work out or consider going, you can go without fear of a lot of people watching you or being around, which is great.
Yeah.
So time to step outside those boundaries a little bit. And, you know, kind of unfortunately, this is the time of the year where it's almost like people do the opposite of mm-hmm. what they should do. Mm-hmm. You get stressed. Mm-hmm. We have finals coming up and all of those things going on. And if you've prioritized and taken care of the things that you should have done, you know, it's a great way to use exercise, physical activity, as a form of stress relief.
Definitely. And then those of you that maybe waited till the last minute, you still need to use exercise as that stress release. Everybody needs to be exercising. That's why we're here. That's why we talk about this every week. We just want all of you guys to be happy, healthy, make the right decisions. So hopefully so far you've gotten some info from us.
Yeah, and you know, hey, summer's just around the corner. So if you've hung in with your workout this long, mm-hmm. You know, best advice we could give you would be to just keep your head down and keep going.
Yeah,
try to keep working out, because you know, and I'm going to throw this number out there. This is completely anecdotal, okay? But this is what I've seen with my personal training clients. I don't know if you've seen the same thing mm-hmm. with yours, but for some reason, if I can get clients, well, most clients are going to stay for at least 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
During that first 6 to 8 weeks, mm-hmm. they see changes that they like.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. From that point, you continue to make changes, mm-hmm. but at around month 8 or 9, mm-hmm. and maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's the way I train, mm-hmm. whatever it is. At that point is, if I can keep somebody consistent for about 8 or 9 months, is when we start to see big changes.
Right.
Are those numbers, would you say those numbers are similar for you?
I'd say so. I'd say even in like a group fitness setting or even in your own personal workout, I think that once you get around, you know, month 8 or 9, not quite to a year, you really start to see some changes. It goes back to that whole lifestyle change. Once you start working out and getting kind of the same repetitions each week and you get kind of change how you eat and move, you're going to start to see those changes. It's going to all kind of trickle down and
right,
have that effect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you can hang in there. And because this is the time that you're going to start seeing those results. And we've got a great show planned for you today. We get an extra dose of Sheena, an extra dose of nutrition talk. And we're going to talk about sports supplementation and supplementation in general. And a great show and a great thing that can help you with your workout, can help you maximize your results with your workout. Sheena's going to be talking about that. So anyway, looking forward to it. Quick break and we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Fit to be Tied with Whitney and John on WBUA.
Hi, this is Ryan Gorman representing Theta Tau, the professional co-ed engineering fraternity, and you're rocking out to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. And we're again, we appreciate you spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us. And we've got a great show for you talking about nutritional supplementation. And we're just going to jump into it. We're going to bring Sheena in here shortly. But Whitney and I both, having the experience of working with a lot of personal training clients over the years, we get a lot of nutritional supplementation questions. Mm-hmm. Fortunately and unfortunately, Whitney and I know our boundaries. As personal trainers, we're not supposed to step outside of those boundaries and say, hey, you should be taking these supplements. But fortunately for us today, we have Sheena here with us who can answer those questions that need to be answered for a lot of people.
Sure.
Throw the question out for you, Whitney. What mm-hmm. question do you get when it comes to nutritional supplementation? Going back to putting on your personal trainer hat, mm-hmm. What kind of questions do you get more than any?
Well, I think first of all, people always want to get a quick fix. They're not necessarily looking at changing the lifestyle. They see things on TV. They hear their friends taking certain supplements. They know what they want to achieve, and they know what they want to look like and how they want it to happen. Sometimes it just takes a little refocus to get them on the right track. Usually a lot of times it has to do with protein supplements. Used to be that you would hear more of guys wanting to take protein supplements, but now a lot of females are actually wanting to take pre-workout supplements and post-workout supplements. I usually get questions of, should I be taking this? Is this going to help me get stronger? Do you believe in this kind of stuff? And my personal beliefs are is we have food for a reason. Everything has nutrients in it. It's all designed that way. So I just believe that if you eat from your food groups and you're well-rounded and you stay hydrated, then you should be fine. So normally I refer them to a registered dietitian like Sheena, and I let them kind of take them on that journey and kind of explain that a little bit more. I personally don't go that route, although I did just start taking a multivitamin. I will say that's my supplement. I haven't decided if I like it yet or not, but we'll see.
It's interesting that you say that about getting so many questions about mm-hmm. nutritional supplements. And if you have a personal trainer, or if you've thought about getting a personal trainer in the future, please think of it as two different things. Your trainer is trained to help you with an exercise program. If you want nutrition advice, you need to go to a registered dietitian.
Right.
I like to always use the analogy, you know, it happens so often. You see people in the gym, they'll walk up to somebody that they think looks really good, you know, and they'll say, hey, you know, what do you do working out? Mm-hmm. And what supplements do you take?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that even goes so far as to, hey, will you help me?
Yeah.
Would you ever go up to somebody just because you like the way their hair looked and say, not only who does your hair, but hey, would you cut my hair for me?
No, I would definitely find out maybe where they get their hair cut, which I guess goes along with right. But I wouldn't say, would you cut my hair? Which kind of, you know, relates to the personal trainer, you know, who trains you or what do you do, I guess is kind of what you're thinking. Yeah.
It goes to, you need to be, stay within your scope of practice.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
If you're ever in a barber shop and there's an empty chair and two guys come walking in off the street, you know, that's probably what happened. it shouldn't happen. But, you have to know your scope of practice. Which leads me to, a few years ago, we did a study on nutritional supplementation use among our patrons at University Recreation. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, when you look at males and females together, roughly about 25% of them, one-fourth of them get their nutritional supplementation information from a fitness instructor.
Hmm.
Okay. If you go on, there are several other sources of information. Roughly 22% of males and 11% of females get their nutrition information from books and magazines. That is nowhere on the list of an open-ended question. Did we have registered dietitian? Okay. More alarmingly, nutrition store clerk, the person who is wanting to sell you stuff, is pretty high on that list at 7% for males, 14% for females.
And, you know, and quite honestly, I mean, I don't know if that store clerk, I mean, they could be a registered dietitian, possibly,
right.
But chances that that individual, you know, is a registered dietitian is probably very slim. And most of the time, just looking at a different point of view, it's a lot of time based on sales. So they're going to sell you, you know, what's hot on the market. So you really don't know what you're putting in your body, which is actually a very scary thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And just as an FYI before we bring our expert in here, looking at that study, roughly, and these are UREC participants. These are people that use our facility. Roughly 70% of males and 30% of females use a vitamin and mineral supplement.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the highest.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you go to 19% and 15% using diet and energy supplements.
Yikes.
Which is very, very scary.
Yeah, that is very scary.
and you know, Sheena will give us her take on that. I will tell you that I, as an exercise physiologist, knowing the energy balance equation and knowing that it is an ever-evolving equation and it's a lot more advanced than we ever thought that it would be, the only way that you are going to create that negative caloric balance, there are a couple of ways. One is to decrease your caloric intake so you can decrease your appetite. Potentially. The other is to increase your output. That can be your physical activity. But if you're taking that in pill form, what does that mean? It means it's an increase in your heart rate, in your blood pressure, in your metabolism.
Yep.
That's scary.
It is scary. Mm-hmm.
It's scary enough on the surface. You take this and you sit there and those things happen to you. But then you take these things and then you get all jacked up and then you go and do something that's going to get your heart rate and your blood pressure up even higher, the potential for that. You know, the risk reward type thing, just don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, we've got Sheena here. Sheena, welcome. You're here every week. We just love to hear you talk and we love to get information from you. So, yeah, welcome back.
Well, I'm super pumped to be here and really just kind of listening to y'all's conversation so far. I have, you know, all these thoughts in my head, whether it's anecdotes about patients, even when I went through my own stint as an uninformed consumer of dietary supplements, especially, you know, as a young teenage girl in high school. So, you know, I definitely think about when we have social media and other websites and websites that make ads that are very, very pretty, it's even more important that we're talking about this topic today. So I'm just pumped to be on, and this is our nice Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Why did you look at me when you said uninformed consumer? That's my first question.
Oh, I have no idea. That was probably so conscious.
Moving on.
Sorry about that. No, there was no ill intentions there, I promise.
Absolutely no problem at all. Okay, so real quickly, before we go to break, I want to throw a quick question out there at you.
Okay.
I just discussed that study that we did, and that's been a few years ago. Would you say that based on your experiences, those things that I mentioned about that study, would you say that they hold true based on your experiences?
I would definitely agree with it. I think those numbers and ratios are pretty consistent with what I see in my office, especially when clients are coming to see me specifically about their nutrition. So so that goes hand in hand. And then also when I think about my position, sometimes I have to really be strategic with how I ask students about supplements in their diet, because they may or may not consider certain types of products to be, you know, a supplement per se. They may think, oh, that's just if I'm taking steroids, not a protein powder. So I'm excited about us expanding on that a little bit later throughout the show.
Good. Would you say that there's anything that jumps out greatly different from what I mentioned?
Not necessarily. I think that in terms of the diet and energy supplements, that may be even more on the rise compared to when you first originally did the study a few years ago. So that'd probably be the only thing, really.
Okay. Wow. Good deal. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to be back, and we'll catch you guys after the break. So hang with us. You're listening to Fit to Be Tie with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone, the voice of the University of Alabama.
And we're back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone. Thanks for sticking with us on this Sunday afternoon. We are talking about supplements. And if you're taking supplements, maybe you should be listening in to this segment. So we're talking with Sheena, our registered dietitian, and we've just been throwing some questions out there, kind of getting her take on the whole supplement deal, whether it's a multivitamin, minerals, pre-workout, post-workout. I mean, there's all kinds of supplements out there.
Yeah, so many things. And Sheena, this is kind of a personal question for me. In a way, I have a 17-year-old daughter at home. She's a high school senior. She's coming to the university next year. She absolutely loves to work out. Taylor's been working out for probably 3 or 4 years now, and she has an expert trainer in her father. don't laugh too hard at that. But my question for you is this. You know, as an incoming freshman next year, you know, and a lot of incoming freshmen living on campus and being able to make decisions themselves for the first time about what they eat. Let's take all of that out of the equation. Someone like her who takes their workout seriously, what type of nutritional supplements would you recommend for them if you make the assumption that they eat a healthy, well-rounded diet?
If I had to be really honest, I would say she really doesn't need any kind of supplement at all. According to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, you know, typically a general multivitamin supplement that is gender specific is usually the thing that's most recommended. When we go into specific vitamin or mineral supplements, that's usually as a result of any kind of deficiencies that have been found in lab work. You know, when you think about athletic performance, and it sounds like since Taylor takes her workout very seriously, if she is a competitive athlete, there could be some recommendations of using a supplement to maybe fine-tune performance. You know I have a lot of students that may consider taking a supplement because they have this perception that it may give them a better edge in their workout, but I think the main priority is to really just reevaluate that their diet and training regimen before even considering a supplement at all, because really, you know, she may benefit from seeing a registered dietitian or even her physician to get a better idea of just how high of a quality her diet is right now and may not need that supplement.
Right. It seems so unfair throwing questions at you, general questions, because I know you deal with individual patients, and without knowing exactly what that individual eats and what they might be deficient in, is you're at a disadvantage answering these questions, but you are the expert, so.
Well, you know, it really, I think, you know, one thing to take into consideration too is that I have had some clients in the past that are very serious about checking out the quality of their nutrition and their athletic performance, and they're willing to have lab work sent to me, you know, by their physician. And that can really help us, because if you have someone like Taylor or anyone else going into a health food store or supplement store, the one thing that store clerk may not do is they may not necessarily ask that potential customer if they have any kind of chronic conditions. And so, you know, of course, they're not going to do that because they're not a doctor or registered dietitian, but it can be really scary to get recommendations from a store clerk. And then, you know, if you haven't disclosed, oh, I have a heart condition, or, oh, you know, I have to limit my protein because I have some hereditary kidney issues, you know, there can be a problem. So I think always advising with some type of health professional, whether you're physician, nurse, or registered dietitian, before considering something like that is a huge consideration.
Right.
Well, and I'm going to throw something out there. I'm coming from the hippie side, because y'all know I'm a little bit of a tree hugger, not eating animals and all. But especially, you know, your vegetarian clients, and just asking for me personally. I mean, I know I try to eat from all food groups. I know that's sometimes hard, but do you recommend, besides maybe a multivitamin, anything else for people that are vegetarians?
I think definitely one other consideration is evaluating your protein. Mm. I know, Whitney, for you in particular, you're actually really good about just being an informed eater of plant-based food. So mm-hmm. you know how to really make that well-rounded, you know, just protein intake. And so a lot of times I have students, unfortunately, that jump into a vegetarian regimen and they have a misconception right. about what that is or what they need to eat mm-hmm. to make sure they're getting all the nutrients that they need. But I think if you're well informed, you can definitely have an extremely balanced diet, getting everything you need from plant-based yeah. resources.
And it kind of, you know, thinking of like a holistic lifestyle and things like that, have you seen a trend when you meet with clients of wanting to take like herbal supplements? Like, I'm thinking of things like, I don't know, St. John's wort, like weird stuff. You know what I mean? Like just different types of supplements. Do you see people that are interested in that?
I do. I definitely see people that are wanting to go with the quote unquote natural realm.
Right.
You know, they'll ask about different types of herbs for either, you know, even if it's not just for sports performance, but maybe lowering their blood pressure mm-hmm. and everything else. And so the one thing that you want to be aware of is, could that possibly conflict or have food and drug interactions with something that has been prescribed by their doctor? And are there any conditions that they have that they may not know of mm. yet that could affect that, as well as the quality and the purity mm-hmm. of the product? You know, towards the end of this segment or later on, we can talk about some different websites and resources where we can direct people to if they're trying to check about the quality of a specific product that they're interested in purchasing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Since you mentioned that, you know, and you tie that in with the fact that so many of our patrons get their information from a clerk at a health food store or whatever type of supplement store that they're in. Do you want to talk for just a second about what the guidelines are on? You see these products, and they make these outstanding claims. You know, you can increase your muscle mass by, you know, 500%, you know, within 3 weeks or whatever. The late night infomercials, if I have trouble sleeping, so, and I'll be channel surfing a little bit. And I tell you, it's crazy some of the things that are said. And knowing that, you know, when you see an advertisement for something like that versus something that is a pharmaceutically based, it's an obvious difference in those types of advertisements. Could you explain a little bit about how that process works when it comes to supplementation?
Sure. I think, you know, certain buzzwords that I tell my clients to be weary of is anytime a product says that it's thermogenic or fat burning, really just anything that seems too good to be yeah. true, that can definitely make me a little weary. And of course, you know, all of these claims aren't necessarily reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. And just kind of going off on an anecdote with that, I remember a few years ago watching the news, and they talked about there are certain diet supplements in Japan, and it's actually tapeworm larva eggs that people will ingest at, you know, just to consume parasites to be able to lose weight. So at least we're not at that level here in the U.S. unless they're being sold on the black market, and
maybe
I don't know
so.
About that. But again, even though we may not have that type of extreme supplementation, you still have to be so weary of the claims that are on here. So again, you know, if it says it's fat burning, thermogenic, you know, it prevents you from absorbing sugar, I mean, that's kind of scary to me. I feel
yeah.
like there's some legit chemical stuff going on if it's telling me that my body isn't going to absorb the sugar or the fat or the carb from that product. So anything along those lines is going to be on the concerning end for me as a dietitian.
And I feel like when people ask questions about supplementation, they're kind of willing to take anything. They're not even willing to do the research, you know, to even read the label. And I remember I had one client and she showed me some kind of supplement, and I looked at it and I went, well, do you know what all these ingredients are in here? Do you know what you're actually putting in your body? And she stopped for a minute. She said, no, I actually don't. And I said, well, we may want to rethink that. We may not want to actually take that supplement. So I don't know. It's crazy what people will do, you know?
Yes. And I have a story I want to tell, but since we're running out of time in this segment, y'all remind me to tell this story when we hop back on.
We most definitely will. Well, yeah. So just tons of great information about supplements. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
This is Michael Hart from Valoria, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
And we're back. This is Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And again, lots of information, some good stuff. And Sheena, you were going to tell us a story before the break. So I'm dying to hear what you were going to say.
Yes. So if you're on any kind of social media, and particularly if you're a female, I feel like there's been ads that have been targeted lately for these wonderful things called Teatoxes. You know, there's different brands out there and basically just different types of herbal teas for people to help them lose weight. I think that's become something that's been trendy lately. And I actually had a patient recently that asked about how that worked. And, you know, I asked her if she had taken a look at any of the active ingredients in that product. And she's like, not really. And I said, well, let me pull it up for you. So we took a look at that. And I said, well, this product has senna leaf, which is a natural laxative. So it works by irritating your stomach lining to make you poo and pee a lot to lose weight. And so she said, that makes so much sense.
Oh,
and so, you know, as glamorous as these ads can look and in terms of making them think, oh, if I drink this tea, everything will be great. You've got to realize what it's actually doing to your body to make that quote unquote weight loss happen.
Yeah.
So I thought that was comical because, you know, they make these beautiful ads and I'm like, you know, the process really isn't that beautiful.
So. Yeah.
So you kind of want to think about that too.
When you think of an herbal tea, you're like, there's not much in it. Herbal teas don't have caffeine in them. Most of the time they don't.
Right.
So you're thinking, oh, it's probably safe. They sell it at a health food store, but you really got to check your labels just to be sure.
Yeah. And one thing, you know, I don't know who all among our listeners could even be NCAA athletes, but, you know, if you're looking at a product and it says all natural or if it's something over the counter, that doesn't mean it could still include some trace supplements that have been banned by the NCAA. So, again, you want to talk to your dietitian, your athletic trainer, you know, if you're considering anything like that, because something you may think is harmless may not be, and you can find yourself in a world of trouble, you know, if you are to get tested for
something. That's a good point. That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I know several years back there was a very, very well-known reputable supplement company that got a slap on the wrist, basically was all that they got for it. But their protein powder, which is something probably one of the number one selling supplements that most people take, it had trace amounts of steroids in it. Well, here's the thing. You take that protein powder and you get that mixed in with it, you're probably going to get some good results, so you're going to go back and buy more of that protein powder.
Yeah.
So, you know, the point I would say, the take-home point from me, in addition to, you know, talking, if you don't see a registered dietitian, if you choose to take a supplement on your own, please do the research. And by doing your research on that supplement, that's not an infomercial. An infomercial is not research. Do look at the scientific research that is out there on specific supplements. Look at not only the supplement itself, but look at the supplement manufacturers. Are those manufacturers reputable? Because, you know, there's so many that are out there that could slip, you know, anything in there. Or not anything at all.
Right.
You know,
you could be paying for nothing. For nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we were talking about during the break earlier. I mean, there's one of a few things that could happen when you take a supplement. I mean, one, you could potentially use it and it could have some minimal to moderate benefits for you. You know, the other thing is you could potentially store it, which has a has the potential, and I hate using the word potential, but it does have that potential to cause harm long term if you store stuff like that. And then the other option is your body will just get rid of it. And so if that's how you want to spend your money for minimal to moderate results, if the research shows that, great. If you want to take a risk on your health, you know, long term storage, or if you just want to waste your money. So you got to make that decision and be smart about how you do things. So anyway, I didn't mean to get off on my rant.
No, like, well, I mean, you bring up a good point. And the best way that I explain to my clients when I come in the office is, I understand you want to take this supplement right now, but do you see yourself taking this long term for the rest of your life? Because what do you think is going to happen to your metabolism after you get off this product? Your body is going to get so used to being dependent on it. Once you hop off that product, you know, your body may not be as efficient at having high energy levels during your workout or that quote unquote fat burning process that this product is claiming. And so you definitely want to keep that in mind as well, because you never know how your body may react after you get off that product. And of course, these companies want us to stay on that product as long as possible, because, you know, the diet and fitness industry, it's a $60 billion industry annually. So they're definitely getting, they don't have any trouble getting some folks buying their products, you know, with the claims that they're making. Yeah.
Well, If there are, those are some of the mainstream supplements that we've discussed. When it comes to like specific things that people want to look at, are there any common supplement questions that you get related to specific? Whitney mentioned St. John's Wort earlier. You know, I know she said that as a weird supplement. Me being on the you know, weightlifting side of it, I probably have heard of it more and you know, hear people talking about it more. Are there other specific type supplements? We do know that if you take creatine in the amounts that are regulated, that you can get some results from it. Those results come along with work as well. But are there some things out there that you would, you know, just in general, say, recommend that are maybe not just the mainstream supplements that are out there?
I think, you know, like you mentioned with the creatine, that's something that that's, you know, commonly asked about in my office. And I agree with you guys, if it's used in the recommended dosage, then I think that that's definitely a great way to supplement somebody's performance and to help with just rounding out that diet overall for that particular type of sport. Other considerations that that I typically have is even just different types of protein products, because, you know, you may be involved in some type of athletic sport where truly from just your diet, you're not getting the amount of protein you need. So, you know, sometimes there are going to be appropriate times that you need that protein powder or protein bar or whatever else as your pre or post-workout snack. So, I mean, so really, other than that, there's not any, you know, any kind of hidden gems out there, you know, that I talk about with my patients. And again, I think me as a dietitian, I really push food itself versus taking something in a pill form. So that's really what it boils down to.
Right. I think you hit on a good point there, and something that I think is important. You know, when either pre-workout or post-workout, a lot of people, you know, we know that we have a certain window of after a workout to work on, you know, what you take in. Well, a lot of people aren't going to want to go cook a big steak or have, you know, a high protein meal immediately after working out. So in that instance, a protein supplement might be okay.
Oh, most definitely. It's a convenience factor for sure. I think it would be a little bit different if somebody was relying on those types of products as their main source of nutrition all the time. So, you know, it's definitely called a supplement because it is supplementing the diet and not taking it over completely. So, yeah.
You know, one of the new trends in a lot of fitness facilities that we see, and even in our facility, is for there to be supplement. You can get a smoothie, or you can get supplements added to your smoothie. You know, word of warning, you know, just because it's in a fitness facility doesn't mean that it's safe or it's effective. It's, you know, one of the agreements that we have with the company that's in our facility is that we're able to take any supplements that they want to sell, and we can ask Sheena about it, and we have, you know, right of, you know, I guess, first refusal, and they have to go along with that. But that doesn't mean, and Sheena would be the first to attest to this, everybody's so different individually that just because it's in our facility and just because it may have been approved, that doesn't mean that it's safe for everybody.
Right. I agree. Yes.
So, something to be careful about, different trends out there.
Yes, definitely. Well, we're going to take another break, so hang tight with us, and we'll be back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Will Hamilton, and this is 90.7 The Capstone.
And welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on this Sunday afternoon. And we're going to close the show out with the section that we love, our frequently asked questions section. And we brought Sheena on for this last segment with us as well, because we didn't get to talk about allergies enough. We didn't get to talk about we know where my first frequently asked question right. is going to be now. We didn't get to talk about supplements enough. We could talk about this all day long. But here we go again with one of my personal questions, Sheena, and I'm gonna just go ahead and hit you up with it. You know, it's been a great month. It's been beautiful weather. And, you know, about a week ago, I started swimming in pollen. And from there, it's just gone downhill. And usually it always ends up in the same result, a trip to the doctor's office, because the allergy sinus thing gets so bad for me. And I know that there are a lot of people in this area, you know, just regionally. Alabama is a tough state when it comes to dealing with things like that. Tying that in with supplementation, Are there any recommendations that you have, you know, generally in terms of prevention or specifically as it relates to allergies and things like that?
Well, I think even other than thinking about supplementation, just certain types of diet practices in general can be just a strategic way to fight off the struggle is real fact of pollen. And as crazy as this sounds, there's a lot of research that will sometimes indicate avoiding spicy foods when pollen season is high. Those spicy foods actually stimulate your nasal area and any kind of just area in your body that will typically react to pollen. Even having a better dosage or better intake of omega-3 fatty acids, because that actually promotes better blood flow. And so when you think about the fact that blood flow is really our body's main way of getting oxygen to different parts of our bodies, there's some preliminary research that talks about omega-3 fatty acid intake helping with fighting off just seasonal allergy type things as well. And then, of course, just staying well hydrated overall, and then just getting adequate amounts of nutrition in terms of carbs, protein, and fat, just so that your body's immune system in general is working at its highest level of efficiency.
Right. For the record there, I will tell you, Whitney did roll her eyes when I asked that question, and it really is probably does show the difference between our nutritional intake. Whitney is a very, very healthy eater. I'm meat and potatoes, and I know it hurts me.
Do you eat a lot of fried food? Because that now that is one dietary behavior that can actually exacerbate reactions to pollen as well.
Yes, I will occasionally indulge in the fried food.
Yeah.
But if we're going meat and potatoes, something's got to be fried. Most of the time. Uh-huh. A lot of the time.
I like my French fries, so I get it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I do think, you know, I was kidding around when I said that about Whitney rolling her eyes, even though she did roll her eyes at me.
I don't remember.
Which happens a lot. But it does, I think it does say so much, you know, because probably our fitness level, even though we're about the same age, I think our fitness levels are comparable in the amount of, you know, I'm probably in a lot better shape, but for the purposes of this, our fitness levels are comparable. The thing that's different is our nutritional intake. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the same issues that I seem to deal with when it comes to the seasonal allergies, which has gone from seasonal allergies just to year-long allergies for me.
I mean, well, and quite honestly, I do feel the effects of it. And I was actually, it's funny, I was thinking about this the other day. I had a lot of people in my classes in yoga that were sniffling, they were sick. Every time we go downward facing dog and go upside down, you have to be careful because of dizziness and just your sinuses. And knock on wood, although I am a little superstitious, I didn't feel that way. And I do eat a very healthy diet, or at least I try to eat a very healthy diet. Another thing, and this is not even totally related to nutrition at all, but one thing I like too is I like humidifiers, like a little humidifier, and I have one. You can even do essential oils in it, and those can kind of help open up your sinuses as well. And I have one going on in my house during the day, and even when I sleep at night, and that opens my sinuses up. So I don't know if that would help. I don't know if other people have the same issue. I drink a lot of tea as well, so kind of the warmth will kind of open my sinuses. A little honey. Right. Little ginger sometimes, things like that.
No, I agree with that. You know, just thinking about warm liquids in general, whether it's broths, hot teas, again, yeah, opening soothing. Up those nasal passages too. And, you know, if you don't want to get your omega-3 fatty acids from a supplement per se, increasing fish intake, again, you know, just some different options there.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that pollen, it's a terrible thing in Alabama. Well, okay, so I have another question, and I know, Sheena, we're just like throwing all these questions at you, but we learned so much from you. That's why we love to have you on and ask you questions. So thinking about as we move into summer, I know we're still probably going to have some cold days here or there, but we start shifting our exercise, things that we do for exercise, more outside. We do outside activities. Would you have any recommendations for hydration when it comes to warmer weather?
Most definitely. So I think that hydration should be a huge concern when you're being physically active in those warmer months, because, you know, when we're exercising in general, our core body temperature is rising. If we're doing it during the warmer months, especially outside, that temperature may get even higher. So we want to be more hydrated. So you want to make sure that your liquid intake is in check, you know, with water overall. But you can also stay hydrated from the foods that you eat too. So summer is a great time for summer salads. You know, lettuce and other vegetables have a high water content. Fruits have a high water content. Different types of dairy products have a high water content. So don't feel like you have to be limited in supplementing, getting good hydration just from water alone. It can be how you eat your diet as well.
Yeah. That's really good to know, because I feel like sometimes, you know, when it's hot, we want to drink water, but even though the temperature is changing so much, we may have a hot day and then a cold day, and I have a harder time drinking water when it is cold outside.
I agree.
You know, so knowing that eating those types of vegetables helps, that's really good information.
Yeah. It's always interesting, too, during the summer, the warmer it starts to get. I'll go for a run through my neighborhood, and you'll see water bottles strategically placed where people that are more serious runners will go out before they're out, and they'll stash water or Gatorade. And you wonder, is that actually trash, or is that something that somebody's drinking?
But you should try picking it up next time and just hide it and see.
Whitney, I'm gonna throw a wild card, frequently asked question at you.
Okay.
As a group exercise, you know, coordinator with your job and what you do, the majority of the types of exercises that you do lend themselves to being inside type exercises.
Yes.
For the most part. For you personally, and for the people that use your, you know, use our facilities, how would you recommend that they take that group experience outside and enjoy the outdoors?
I definitely think any type of class that we offer aside from indoor cycling, unless you have a bike, which that could be great if you like to do indoor cycling, maybe get a bike now that you kind of know how to cycle. I think any class we offer can be taken outside. I think that we have such a great community within our classes that you could find a few friends and just say, hey, do y'all want to go do a HIIT class? We'll just do a 20-minute class like we do with our instructors. I think the transition can be a little difficult because you're used to the same kind of climate inside. You're used to the air conditioning or heat, whatever, being the same. I think sometimes when you're thrown outside, it can kind of throw you off a little bit. So just being mindful, definitely hydrating like Sheena was talking about, and being mindful of the pollen. But yeah, I think for me personally, when I go outside to exercise, it's usually for walks. Me and one of my really good friends will go for like 4-mile walks, and you know, that's my idea of cardio. That's what I enjoy doing. So
I have to tell you though, one of the coolest things that I love seeing every summer is when driving up, you know, 7:30 or 8:00 in the morning at our outdoor pool. You forgot about a class that you had.
I did. We do outdoor water fitness. And I guess, yeah, I need to start scheduling soon. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, we do outdoor water fitness class, usually starting in May. Still kind of a little cool, but the instructor goes Tuesdays and Thursdays outside on the pool deck. And we do fun things like running against the current and the water and just lots of fun exercises. We'll even do, hopefully this summer, we'll get to do our aqua days, which is our cardio dance class in the water. So we kind of like to transition a little bit and use the outdoor pool. So yeah, y'all stay tuned. Hopefully in May we can, if it's not cool, we can go outside. But you guys, thanks for listening. This has been an awesome show. I just hope that everybody got a lot of good information about supplements, what to do, what not to do. Maybe if you have more questions, I mean, contact us. Why not? You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.